And well, the events recorded here in the book of Ruth appear to have taken place in the early days of the judges, at a time when the promised land was at rest. God's displeasure was evident just the same. And this was expressed here as we read in the opening verse of this famine that was in the land. They had not yet been sold into bondage to the surrounding foes. But the story revolves around four main people, four main characters, that of Elimelech, Naomi, Boaz, and Ruth. The moral examples of this book, however, and their characters do not exhaust its full meaning. It's rich with theological truth and pictures of Christ and his gospel. The great theme is evident, that of redemption. It's clearly taught throughout this book of Ruth. The kinsman redeemer of the extended family who at his own expense restored or avenged the family when it suffered loss. But notice also this morning with me that providence is another great theme. Things don't just happen in this book of Ruth, but rather it is clear that God is at work all throughout the trials and troubles. They're brought together in a remarkable fashion to further God's eternal providential plan. God's redemptive purpose and providence go hand in hand together. The patriarch Job, speaking of the Lord, asked this question: who hath hardened himself against him, that is the Lord, and hath prospered? Job knew the answer to this question, and we too do also. If we obey God's will, everything in life will hold together. However, if we disobey, then things start to unravel and to fall apart. Oh yes, there may be difficulties and trials and temptations along the way. But when we walk in Christ's way, he is with us throughout. Nowhere in all of Scripture is this more evident than in the experiences of Elimelech and his wife Naomi. You see, they found out to their great cost that one can run from God, but you can't hide. And today I would like to center your thoughts upon the record of this ruinous decision. Note first of all with me the move to Moab. We see there in verse 1, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now I want you to picture the scene with me this morning. You see, there was a famine in the land. And those of you associated with farming can look back to years gone past when there was a poor harvest, perhaps. However, I expect there are few, if any of us today, know what it is to live through a famine, a time of dearth, a time of deprivation, a time of shortage, scarcity, potentially leading then to starvation. This man and his wife and his two sons were faced with these real challenges. You know, famine comes at a time when men do as they please. And this famine was caused by open sin among the people. It seems the people had no hunger then for the word of God. Therefore, he so ordered things that there was a hunger for physical food. Those words and a certain man in our opening verse would appear to indicate that Elimelech made the choice then, as the head of the home, that he and his family would uproot and leave Bethlehem, Judah, and go to Moab. And you know, this is rather bizarre when we think about this, men and women, this morning. Considering that the name Bethlehem, Judah means house of bread. You know, these words also confirm to us that while Elimelech decided to do what was best for he and his family to move to Moab, not everyone who dwelled there was of the same mind. Not everyone was of the same opinion. Not everyone decided that they would uproot Bethlehem, Judah, and leave the house of bread and to go from that place. Yes, Elimelech, his wife, his two sons, they chose to depart. There wasn't a mass exodus. We see there in verse 6 that over time the gracious visitation of the Lord did come in giving them bread. There were those that who had remained. There were those that acted by faith in remaining there in the house of bread in Bethlehem, Judah. But nonetheless, Elimelech, he went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name Elimelech means God is my king. And it's a wonderful thing to note that he had a worthy name, but unfortunately he had not a worthy manner. It's regrettable, you know, men and women, this morning as we read this passage and we consider it together, how he went even to sojourn in Moab. That word sojourn means to stay temporarily, just to go for a period of time, to be a stranger. You see, he only meant to stay for a short time. However, we read there in verse 1, he went to sojourn, but then in verse 2, he continued there. And verse 4, he dwelled there. No longer a stranger, but became a settler. And there is a sad progression signified within these words for each and every one of us this morning. What commenced as a temporary period soon became a period of time and then advanced to a permanent abode. Did the old preachers not get it right when they said these words? Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Here we see Elimelech made the ruinous decision to forsake the land of promise and to embrace the land of Moab and all that it entailed. If you turn back with me for a moment to Deuteronomy 23 and the verse 3, we read these words of this evident curse that was upon the land of Moab. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 3, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation. Shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever? Also in Genesis 19:37, we read of Moab's shocking history of sin involving Lot's wickedness and all that that entailed with his daughters. This people of Moab became a constant source of difficulty and pain for Israel. The mother of Moab came from Sodom. And all that belongs to Moab in way of wickedness had its history in Sodom. Yet, Ruth 1 and the verse 15 indicates that it was a place of false gods. Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back onto her people, onto her gods. And yet this morning, here we have Elimelech. In time of difficulty, in time of trouble, this is the place where he chooses to take his family to dwell. Surely in times of trouble, we as the people of God were prone to go astray. Elimelech may never have gone to Moab, only that the famine came. However, is it not true that we tend to look for that easier way? That easier way to help us avoid problems or difficulties whenever they arise. I don't know if you're familiar with the old saying, so-and-so has the name of being an early riser, therefore he can stay in bed all day. And there's a lot of truth in it. Because just because someone has the name of following after God doesn't mean that they're always faithful to him. This is signified here by Elimelech and his actions. He was not subject to the king, but rather he denied the sovereignty of God in his life. And you know, it's a wonderful challenge, and it's been a personal challenge to me, even as I have considered this passage. Fathers who do not wait on God or walk with God ultimately lead their family away from God. We considered this the last time I think we met together with reference to Eli the priest over in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and 25. Regardless of our age this morning, whether we be younger or older, we ought never to forget that the allurement of this world is stronger than we will ever realize. Elimelech intended only to simply sojourn, but he stayed there longer than he ever intended. And you know, men and women this morning, and boys and girls and young people, it's easier to walk away from God than it is to return to him. The devil makes it out as if repentance is easy. Nonetheless, it's hard to come back. Some say we can do as we like and then say a little prayer. Come back to God at the time when we choose. However, the devil keeps us away. In verse 3, we read of the ultimate death of the man who left Bethlehem, Judah, behind. Naomi. In a sinful, wicked land, there with her two sons. You see, Elimelech may have supposed within himself that he had a right motive. However, he had a wrong motive and he made a wrong move. And considering the record of this ruinous decision, we have noticed the move to Moab. But see also quickly with me the marriage at Moab. Verse 4, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The situation Elimelech left his family in resulted in the marriage of his two sons to daughters of Moab. It should be no surprise that they married there in Moab. After all, their father had walked by faith and not by sight and had led them there. He sought to run from the problem of famine rather than wait on the Lord. And we think of the promise there in Genesis 8 and 22, as long as the earth shall remain, seed time and harvest shall prevail. But yet in all, Elimelech didn't wait. It's the words of Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and so on. But not Elimelech, he didn't wait. He didn't believe God. He majored on the physical needs and not on the spiritual needs. And you know, this morning, it rejoices my heart as a preacher, as I look out and see a congregation met together this morning in their cars that have a concern for their spiritual need. Because in these days when there's much talk of the physical needs, and rightly so, we ought to be wise. But there's something much more important that we ought never forget. And that's our spiritual needs. Elimelech overlooked the spiritual needs for that of the physical needs. Therefore we read of his sons in verse 4, they took. It was not an arranged marriage. The verb can also mean lifted up in verse 4 and or in verse 9 rather, and in verse 14. And also it means to take or to receive or to take hold of. All the language that is used throughout the scriptures in terms of marriage or with reference to marriage. The idea of taking a wife involves support, uplifting. Sad to say, sometimes husbands think it's their duty to come down on their wives. But it's the responsibility of a husband to uplift his wife, to love his wife. Just as Christ, after all, has lifted us up. We think of the words of Matthew Henry commenting on this matter. He says this, the woman was made of the rib out of the side of Adam. Not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved. We think of how the Saviour recorded in those words in the prophecy of Isaiah 53 and the verse 12, bear the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And those words, he bear the sin of many, is the same verb. He took, he lifted. He lifted, Christ has lifted the burden of our sin. This morning, if you're saved today, that's what he has done for you. That's what Christ has done for me. He took, he lifted that burden of sin from his people. He carried them to the cross. And this morning, it's just one of the many benefits we have because of our union with him. But yet when we consider this union here in this portion of Scripture in which we're meditating upon this morning, this marriage union of Mahlon and Chilion and Moab, it was to the woman of Moab. And it is notable that this is the first thing we learn of these two young men. The Holy Spirit is emphasizing the fact that they're not Jews. It's the third reference to Moab there within the opening four verses. Verse 1, the country of Moab. Verse 2, the country of Moab. Verse 4, the woman of Moab. And this entanglement of Moab, this embrace with Moab, is evident with the sins and connected there with the sins of that place. Both Mahlon and Chilion acted in a way that was unbecoming of an Israelite. You know, I want you to understand something here, that they were not far from Israel after all. They weren't far away. It was only about 50 miles away, just a bit further from here to Belfast. That's all the distance they were away from their own people, from the people of God. However, they didn't go back to their own people. They probably just sought to justify their choice that they lived there in that foreign land, or as they call it. But they should never have been there. And they should have fled from Moab at their first opportunity. And it shows the importance of being careful of our conduct and those in which we keep contact and with, and those who are our companions. Despite the fact that the Jews were forbidden to marry the Gentile women, especially those from Ammon and Moab, Mahlon married Ruth and Chilion married Orpah. Ruth, the wife of the younger son, and Chilion perhaps married first, as Orpah is named there first in verse 4. There's great speculation that these pair of ladies were sisters. However, there's no scriptural evidence to verify this. Elimelech made the ruinous decision to move to Moab. And the devastation just continued there as his two sons then married an unequal yoke. The story is told of a young believer who was in business. He felt he would have greater potential or greater opportunities by relocating elsewhere. And he and his wife went then to the country of their choosing. Spent a few days there, a few weeks there, looking around. Oh, there's so many places, many opportunities that they could have to expand, to grow their business as they travelled throughout and around that country. But yet they saw church after church after church lying derelict, turned into restaurants, pubs, hayseeds, luxury homes, you name it, they saw it. Church is used for everything and anything other than the proclamation of God's precious word. Challenged about what they saw and concerned for the souls of their family, they came back to the place where the Lord was. Not only did they prosper in business, but they saw a family won for Christ. But this was not so of Elimelech. He and his family, they abandoned God's land. They abandoned God's people for the land of the enemy, a decision that produced a trail of destruction that followed after them. In pondering the record of this ruinous decision, we have noted the move to Moab, the marriage at Moab. But see finally with me the misery in Moab. Verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. You see, death came to the family. Elimelech dies and Naomi is left there alone. In isolation, in loneliness, away from the people of God, away from those whom she loved and whom loved her. She survived her husband and now was the widow of two sickly sons. This is the meaning of both Mahlon and Chilion. Their names mean sickly or feeble. And there she was, taking care of her two sons in a sinful foreign land. Without the support of her family, her friends, the people of God. Oh, the family had tried to escape death, but death caught up with them, and sadly, it was not the last, as we see there on down in verse 5. And Mahlon and Chilion died also. Both of them, and the woman was left. It's true to say by this stage that Naomi was the most miserable mother in Moab. There's no reference to when or why her husband or her sons died, but just that she was left alone. And friends, this morning as we listen in, this morning as we consider this message today, surely it's a challenge to us, and it reminds us even of sin and the workings of sin, the outworkings of sin. Sin is a wonderful way of resulting on being left alone. She was left alone. She and her family had gone to escape death, but death knows no boundaries. There was no long-term prosperity for them outside the will of God. She's like a Christian who is backslidden, far from God, entangled with the world and terribly afflicted. Her name signifies pleasantness. Yet she suffered great loss. We see she lost her home. She forsook Bethlehem, Judah, for Moab. She lost her loved ones, her husband, her sons were gone. She lost her joy there in verse 20. Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. And how easy it is when the problems come. Oh, the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. There's no talk here of Naomi going away from the Lord with Elimelech in the opening verse, while others stayed in the town of Bethlehem. No, the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. How easy it is to fall into that trap. Poor me. She lost her sense of judgment. Verse 21, I went out full and the Lord has brought me home again. Empty. Why then call me Naomi, saying the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me? You see, friends, this morning, regardless of your age, should you be a child this morning listening in, or the oldest member of this congregation, there is no pleasure in backsliding. And David is seen in Psalm 51 as one who had lost much. Yet the Lord is merciful. Here when we consider Naomi the backslider, the Lord brought her back. He dealt with Naomi. Why did she not use the word home in verse 21? Read it there for yourself. Cast your eye upon it. Why did she use that word? Because she knew where she belonged. She knew that was where she belonged. She knew she never would belong in Moab. And friend, today, if you're saved and you're far from God, perhaps you've become cold and despondent, discouraged, disappointed because of all that's happening in this land around us from last March to now. You can't have fellowship with the people of Like Precious Faith. You have difficulties, perhaps a mother with homeschooling. You have all sorts of things that you're dealing with. Perhaps jobs, business is up and down. Jobs is on and off. There's all sorts of trials. Maybe you're busier than ever. Don't lose sight of God. Don't lose sight of the people of God. It's the worship of God even in these days. There's no peace anywhere else than in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've got away from God, you'll never fit in there. There'll be no peace there. You need to repent from your sin, laying hold upon the promise, even today, if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, Naomi belonged among the people of God. This was where her place was. This is where she would be blessed. The Lord visited his people there in the house of bread. In Bethlehem. The Lord's blessing was upon it, and it was Naomi's home. It was the Lord that brought her back to it. We think of Luke 15, the homecoming of the prodigal. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You see, the Lord's painful afflictions had been for her prophet. And this is the ways of the Lord. Trials are sent to assist us. They're measured by God for our good and for His glory. Our sorrows are sanctifying. Perhaps today you're feeling the pressure such as what Elimelech felt. There are pressing decisions to be made. You are tempted to follow your own plan rather than to seek that which is the Lord's. Is it not true to say that our troubles will follow us? This family exchanged a famine for 3 funerals. The psalmist reminds us in these chilling words, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, thy right hand hold me." Dear friends, this morning, you can run from God, but you can't hide. We'll just close our meeting with a word of prayer. Thank you for coming, braving the elements, and coming to be part of this service this morning. I trust the Lord has spoken to you. As I said at the commencement, I was to be somewhere else today. Someone else was to be here. However, God has ordained and organized this to happen today with His providential hand. I was to be here to bring His word. And therefore, I urge you this morning to take heed to His word today and that which He has to say to you.